Amen, amen.
So there was an imaginary meeting and conversation amongst all the states and territories of the U.S., and they were all talking about, you know, their virtues and the things that they have going for them, right? And then Alaska stood up and said, you know, I waited for 92 years to be a state of this union. So I'm patient, you know, and I have that going for me. And everybody was, oh, wow, that's great. Alaska, patient one. But then Oklahoma stood up and said, what? That's nothing. I waited 104 years to become a state of this union. And everybody clapped and cheered and say, you know, that's even better. You know, you're more patient. But then Puerto Rico, who was, you know, on the corner playing dominoes with the rest of the territory, said, grab my coquito. Because as of today, Puerto Rico has been waiting 122 years to become a state of the U.S. And honestly, there is no end in sight, despite what the politicians said. And quite honestly, you know, none of us like waiting at all. If it were up to us, we wouldn't wait for anything at no moment. And while we're in this kind of a political theme, you remember back in 2000 when U.S. citizens had to wait 35 days to know who the actual president-elect was? I was very young back then, but I do remember some of that. But of course, we are in 2020. And for some reason, 2020 wants to be the worst year ever. Amen. And now, back then they were disputing one state, Florida, but now they are disputing several. So let's wait and see how long the president has to wait for that to be resolved. And also, honestly, corporately, we all feel exhausted. It feels, though, like this year is being all about waiting. Waiting for the good news about the COVID numbers. Waiting for some of us to go back to work. Waiting for face-to-face education. Waiting and just waiting for some sense of normal to return to our lives. And today, we're celebrating or we're remembering the first day of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. And many of you may already be familiar with Advent, but for those of you who are not, Advent is a season of the liturgical year that the church observes as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the birth of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at the second coming. It's a time set aside where we remember both God's faithfulness in sending us his Son, while at the same time leaning into the hopeful expectation of our reality of Christ's followers. We are still waiting for the return of the Messiah. And I think today's text gives us a very good advice to make the wait worthwhile. But I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're waiting for something, we tend to wait in a manner that is not productive. We're just there waiting. We don't produce anything. We don't do anything. We just waste our waiting in a matter of speak. So we have two characters today, Simeon and Anna, that I think has some tips for us to wait in a worthwhile manner. And the first thing I want you to see that they, you know, Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple to be presented. And I want you to see from this text, number one, that what we need to make our wait worthwhile is spiritual involvement. We read about Simeon that he was a righteous and devout man looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and that the Holy Spirit rested on him. And that the Holy Spirit revealed things to him, and that he was guided by the Holy Spirit. And for me, that's amazing. And about Anna, that she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There is no way that we can achieve that level of like these two people without engaging with scriptures, without praying constantly, and involving ourselves with other spiritual practices. I mean, we read that the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. The Holy Spirit revealed things to him, and he was guided by it. That's amazing. If only we had a clear example of someone else that did the same thing and led us, you know, a way to do that as well. Oh, yeah, Jesus, right? Jesus was conceived by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He gave commands by the Spirit. He performed miracles by the power of the Spirit, and he was raised from the dead by the Spirit. The Spirit is the secret sauce. But you might be thinking, well, Jesus is Jesus after all, right? And you will be wrong, because we just saw that a minor character in the Bible and the main character of the Bible were described in the same way and as having a same same relationship with the Holy Spirit and with results that are similar. So really, we should be asking, how can I get that? Holy Spirit is the secret sauce, but what else can we get out of this passage to make our wait worthwhile? Well, the second thing that we need is hands for caring. And sometimes I feel that when we hear about caring or serving in the Christian life, it tends to take a certain shape, right? It's either serving at the church by taking care of a ministry or helping decorating Christmas or something like that, or you think about missionary work, going somewhere to do, you know, something that is out of the ordinary. And all of those, or both of those, are great and are necessary. But it could be much simpler than that. Back in 2019, I had the privilege of leading a group of teens down south in the Ponce vicinity, and we spent a week of hard work helping families that were still struggling to get back on their feet after Irma and Maria. And those kids and the adults leaders, we work hard. We, you know, basically we clean a whole lot. In a house, we destroy a floor so they could put another one. We painted a house. It was a lot of work. So that is important. But during that week, towards the end of the week, we went to a program. It's I would call it a halfway house for teenagers that have committed some sort of misdemeanor crime or something like that. And it was like a military environment. And I remember I got up and I preached, and the students gave their testimony. Some of them did, but it was afterwards, you know, during the worship part of the service, that the students got together with those students, with those teenagers, and they just talked with them and they started praying for them. And let me tell you, that was the most powerful, most significant part of the whole night. And the students from the program told us so, that they felt connection with God, that they felt that someone really cared for them because we took the time to pray and really listen to them. And it's kind of the example that Simeon gives us in verse 25, that we read that he's a righteous man, and we know the biblical righteousness involves action. But also he took baby Jesus in his arms, he praised God, and he blessed the parents. So this man that is a devout person took the time to do a simple thing as a prayer to God for that baby and for his experience with the baby, and he took the time to bless the parents. And the third thing we need to make our wait worthwhile, in my opinion, according to this text, is we need spiritual engagement, we need hands for caring, and we need a mouth for sharing. He said, Simeon says to his mother, Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon spoke to Mary about who Jesus was to her. And of course, you can see that it was not something comfortable. But sometimes you have to say the uncomfortable thing so the message can get through. I remember sitting with a family member on the dinner table, and I wanted to talk to him about Jesus, and I did. And I found myself in the conversation confronting him about his sin. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't comfortable, but it was the way for me to be able to make. Because, you know, it's like the story of this girl looking out the window and admiring how beautiful this white sheep was, because she was seeing it against the green grass. And she was like, oh, that's a beautiful white sheep. Then later on, it started snowing, and she went out, look out the window again, and notice how dirty this sheep really was, because now she was looking at it at the backdrop of the white, fresh falling snow. It's the same with us. If we evaluate ourselves with the backdrop of the righteousness of the world, we look pretty good. But when we evaluate ourselves against the backdrop of the righteousness of God, then we realize we're in trouble, and we need a Savior. We need, a desperate need, Jesus. But we have to be willing to say the uncomfortable thing. But to who? I think Anna tells us. We read that at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The someone comes to mind that might need redemption. Do you have someone in your life that does not see his or her need for Jesus? Someone who is worth being uncomfortable for? I tell you, people need to be the redeemed. People need hope. They need the rock to stand on, and that rock is Jesus Christ. They have to know that God created them with the plan to have a personal relationship with them. But that is our sin that breaks the possibility to have that relationship. The uncomfortable conversation, remember? And it gets a little worse before it gets better. Because God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. And sins cannot be removed by any good deeds. You see, the conversation might get interesting at this point because most people don't understand how that works. Again, they're comparing their righteousness against the righteousness of the world, and they say, hey, I'm not a bad person. And it's up to us to try to explain to them in a loving way that in the same way that a criminal is in front of the judge because of his crime, the criminal is not going to say, well, I did commit that crime, but other than that, I'm a pretty decent person. Because he's not in front of the judge because of the decency that he has. He's in front of the judge because of the crime he committed. So whatever good deeds he might think he has are simply irrelevant. But the good news is that Jesus paid the price with his life, his suffering. He was tortured, and his death for those sins. That in his resurrection, he gave everyone the opportunity to have eternal life, which is a life that starts now. So maybe you're seeing this, you're hearing the sound of my voice, and you're thinking to yourself, I am not waiting in a worthwhile manner, because I don't even know who this Jesus is. Today you have the opportunity to put your faith in Christ, making this story your own, this gospel story your own, recognizing your need for Jesus and accepting that gift. We're approaching Christmas, but I'm telling you, there is no better gift than eternal life that starts now. And for the rest of us, I tell you, if you invest your life in having spiritual engagement, hands for caring, and a mouth for sharing, it will worth the wait until he calls you home or he comes back. Amen? All right, so let's pray. Father, please give us a heart of understanding that we're just not in this world calling ourselves by your name to play the part of Christians, of coming to church on Sundays, of reading scripture maybe, God, but that we are on a mission. We are on a mission to prepare the landscape of our lives, of those around us, for the coming of our King. Father, I pray that you will make that a reality in our life, and you will inspire us and guide us to do that, Father. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.